Finnerach Podcast, Episode 2, P-Shank.
Attempt number 2.
Attempt number 5.
We just deleted basically an entire episode because we got into such a big fight that I was at a loss for words. I was just silently in anger. So we went upstairs, we pulled out the 1942 and started taking shots to give you guys a much better version of this.
And I just want to say the how much of a lightweight Zuko is. After one shot, his mood did a full fucking 180.
I went from like... Just, I couldn't even form a sentence. I was just so, like, I just wasn't into it. I was talking like this.
Which, I do want to say.
What, the Zuko voice?
The Zuko voice. So, I don't know, really.
I'm taking another shot.
Go for it. I don't know who's aware of this. All I know is, like, that I picked up on this. Zuko didn't even know he did it until I pointed it out. But if you're talking to Zuko and he's tired or he's mad or he's just not feeling it, his voice becomes very low-pitched, monotone, and he says a lot of big words at once. So, for example, if we're recording the podcast and we're talking about, let's say, women, and Zuko's not feeling it, this would be something that he would say. I mean, I don't know why we're talking about people with XY chromosomes. Like, why? I just don't understand.
It wouldn't be both.
Isn't men X and women XY?
Maybe you're right.
I got a fucking like C in chemistry and biology, so I'm not a science person.
I got 103, but I don't fucking remember.
I mean, it's just like I just
I just so, don't recall.
Episode 2, we want to start by thanking everyone who's shown support to the podcast from episode 1, whether you posted it on your story, whether you just watched it, if you left a rating and a review, if you subscribed. We appreciate all of the support. It really does mean a lot to both of us. And going forward, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify so you know exactly when we drop each and every episode. Give us a rating and a review. And I'm sure even on this fifth take, we'll probably still go at it. And the more we drink,
oh,
probably.
No, it's going to happen. Yeah. And yeah, I just want to echo what Patrick said. Like, thank you guys all for your support. I've had a lot of people reach out to me, and so has Patrick, giving us, you know, a lot of compliments, and I was kind of like, I was kind of nervous to see people's reactions because, you know, you always think that when you do something and you try really hard and to put your best, you know, version of yourself out there, you know, try your best, you're kind of like worried of like what people are going to say and are going to think, like putting yourself out there. But so far it's been all positive. The only thing that I got for a negative is my mom doesn't want me to swear as much. Fuck Fair. That. sorry. And a friend of mine said that he wants to hear more about my dog, which we can spend time on that like another time when it's appropriate.
Yeah, and Anakin is one of the best dogs that, and I've had dogs.
He's
I've
a great a dog. He's a
unbelievable dog.
Unbelievable.
But I do want to touch to start this episode on something that I said in the first episode,
well,
which is
because another piece of feedback. I know I'm cutting you off. I'm sorry. Sorry.
I need to make a list of how many times you cut me off.
All right, here's a tally
because
mark.
You get so fucking
one.
Mad when I cut you
that
off and you
one.
Make it like it's the end of the world, yet you do it to me just as much. So we'll keep a tally.
I put a tally. I put
Continue.
A tally there.
Continue,
that is one
Go.
For...
Go.
That is one for me for interrupting you. I will now proceed. But anyways, a friend of mine said he literally texted me. Like, he was like live texting me as he was listening to it for the first time. And he goes... why Patrick blatantly calling this bitch dumb, LMFAO. And
when we recorded last week, after we finished, we started listening to the episode. And if you heard the first episode, you heard towards the end, I was talking about a girl that I was in a friends with benefits type situation with. And when I was explaining why I didn't want to date her, I said that she wasn't intelligent. In my mind, I honestly did not mean... And if she's listening to this, I didn't say her name, but it wouldn't be too hard to, you know, for her to figure out it's her. I didn't mean to call her dumb.
Because of how rarely you have sex or.
Huh? Yeah. when I say that someone's not intelligent, I'm not saying they're dumb. I'm saying that they're not intelligent. And when I say that, I know you're making a face, but my two examples were if you're a student at a school and you're not a good tester, you get D's in your classes.
A good test taker.
You're not intelligent, but you're not dumb. Just because you don't get good grades doesn't mean you're dumb. I think
Well, we're not talking about grades. We're just talking about synonyms for what you said. And but from what I remember you saying,
just because it's
that's
a synonym,
one for you.
It is. Just
we're now tied.
Just because
hold
it's
on,
a synonym
me
doesn't
down.
Mean it's the like I know
I'm
that
not done writing it down.
A synonym is a
synonym means the same thing as the other word you said. Unintelligent. Unintelligent means dumb. It's an equal sign. It's the same fucking thing. Continue.
I'm gonna post and you'll see this on my Instagram tonight, which is before the episode drops. I'm gonna post a story that says, if somebody said that another person was not intelligent, would you take that as them being called dumb? Yes or no? And I want you to post the same thing.
I will.
And we'll see.
Well, what I want to do, which I said on our first draft that we fucking deleted, was, you know, sure. I want to take the audio snippet of you saying what you said.
Yeah, I pulled
it. And I think the important distinction here for me is what you meant and what you said aren't necessarily the same thing. You're saying that you didn't say she was dumb, but then you proceeded to say, you gave an example of how fucking dumb she was. And you said, this girl literally asked, like, was questioning why there's an election because she thought the president of the United States just stopped being the president, not after 4 years or 8 years, two terms, but, like, as if it was, like, a monarchy or a dictatorship. They just kept doing it. And
that's what she thought.
Right. So you can't say that you didn't mean she was dumb and then use the example to support your previous statement as something that was really, really friggin' dumb. You said she was dumb.
I didn't. Okay. You were the only one that used the word dumb. I said she wasn't intelligent.
But
you said you're calling
dumb.
Her dumb.
But that means dumb.
But even if
it's
you're,
a synonym.
Even if you're calling someone, and I'm not saying that I think she's dumb, but even if you use
unless
a word.
Unless you meant
but,
that
well,
you were
you're
reading.
Cutting
like,
me off. You're, that's two.
I am. That's two. Yeah, but unless you were communicating.
Put the pen on the fucking paper.
Okay. I stroked it. I made a pen stroke. Two for you. Two for me. One for you. I actually put it in the wrong column. I got to start over. Should I take another shot?
Take another shot.
I'll take another fucking shot.
But while you do that, let me
No,
just
no,
say,
no, no, no.
Okay, go.
So, were you communicating with her through Braille?
No.
So she was not dumb in that way. She was dumb in terms of not being intelligent. Yes or no?
I don't think she's
dumb.
Yes or no? I don't think she's dumb.
Yes, you do. Don't lie to everyone.
I'm not lying to everyone. What I'm saying is, now you might think that I'm dumb for saying this, and I know you do. I don't think that for every word that has a synonym, I don't think all of those words mean the same thing.
I don't think
like I said, unattractive and ugly. Not unattractive, not attractive. Because I think the unintelligent, unattractive versus not intelligent or not attractive are two different things.
I don't know if I would agree, but I understand what you're saying.
So
what I would challenge you is I would say not very attractive or not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You do like people are going to understand. Like, I didn't ask this person, my friend,
no,
to
I know,
respond that
I know.
Way. It was unsolicited. Literally, he was listening
yeah,
to
no,
it and
I
texted
know.
Me that. So I'm not the only one who feels
everyone
this way.
That we've talked to, we're kind of 50-50. Like, half of them think that I'm right and half of them think that you're right. And I think what you'll notice about me, and I this is a problem that I've always had.
We're going to finish this bottle.
I speak very fast. So when I'm getting my thoughts out, I might not include a word that I mean. I really didn't mean to say that she was dumb. I guess what would be a better...
I mean,
wait, I meant to say she wasn't very intelligent, but I'm not saying she's dumb.
I think
we've had good conversations. We've talked about deep things. I just think in certain aspects, she doesn't have a lot of intelligence when it comes to politics or what's an alcohol. That's
let's give that example.
So
because like you after saying that she was not very intelligent, which does mean dumb. You could just say that, like, she was not my peer, or we had different interests, or I couldn't have, like, a deep conversation with her, or whatever. You just said she's not very intelligent, and then followed it with an example of how she was not very intelligent. Now,
I apologize. I really didn't mean to, and if that offends anyone, I do apologize. I didn't mean it that way. I'm very sorry, and...
I mean, it's okay to say that someone's not intelligent.
The other example that I alluded to that you wanted me to talk about, on the first time that her and I hung out, we went to...
That's proper douche grammar.
Fine. Ajar.
Fine. What are we at, like $9? Now?
Something like that.
That was an interruption.
Yeah, put that down too.
I did.
We went to a bar, and it was during the summer, so I ordered a White Claw. Which, by the way, if I'm ranking my favorite seltzers, Bud Light Seltzer number one, White Claw number two, Truly number three. They didn't have Bud Light Seltzer, so I ordered a White Claw. Her response was, "What kind of alcohol is in a White Claw?" So I tried to explain. I'm like, listen, so, you know, like in beer, they ferment the sugar cane and they make that with, and I was like, it's the same thing with White Claw. I don't know what they use, like what they make it from. I don't think it's sugar cane, but they ferment a certain type of ferment a certain type of ingredient and they make it, you know, whatever. Zuko's Googling it.
I am.
So her response was, oh, so it's like vodka. And I said, no, it's not any type of liquor. It's its own thing. To which she then responded, so gin. And I was like, it's not a hard liquor. It's its own thing. And she just, it was a 15-minute conversation, and she just could not understand what I was saying.
And why was that?
Because she's
she
not,
was fucking dumb, she's Patrick. Not dumb. Because she's fucking dumb.
No, she's not dumb.
If you can't grasp a basic concept, that's what you are.
I'm not calling her dumb. If you want to call her dumb, that's you.
Did.
I didn't.
You did. You
I
literally
didn't call
said
her
she was
dumb.
You said she was not intelligent.
Okay, let's just move on because this is gonna be fucking an hour of
okay.
this.
Okay. But anyways, so the alcohol in White Claw hard seltzer comes from fermented sugars derived from malted gluten-free grains.
So it is sugar cane in a weird way.
It close enough. Yeah.
Fucking D in chemistry, A in alcohol fermentation.
maybe a passing grade, I'd give you a C.
Fair. So I just wanted to, this probably did more damage than it did to help me in my argument of.
Yeah, you opened your mouth and inserted your hairy hobbit foot.
Yeah,
past
I probably
should
have just ignored it. But anyway, so what we wanted to touch on first in this episode is we are basically tonight as we're recording at the 1 year anniversary of when the lockdowns happened.
Should we take a shot now? Is this number three?
I don't like taking them together. If you want to take one, because, like, if I'm talking, I'm not going to pause and just take a shot.
Why? They can hear us clean.
I'm just going to cut all this out anyways. Probably not, but.
Well, I don't want to do it by myself.
Well, just wait a second.
Just do it with me.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, just fucking clink glasses. We'll take a shot. It's okay. They can hear it. Was that so hard?
You feel better?
I do.
Okay.
He is now chasing it with a red Gatorade.
It wasn't the tequila. It was the face that you made when you'd finished the shot. You were like, see? And I started to laugh, but yeah. It wasn't all the way down.
So I gave you the face.
You gave me the face. So
we should explain what that is.
The face. This whole thing. Now, if you listen to the first episode, IDW, I don't want to be here.
We should make, like, eventually, like, I guess a glossary of all the stupid terms.
We should, yeah.
Like, once there's more out. We're at number two right now.
Yeah. So, IDW, acronyms, I don't want to be here. Now, the face. So, the face origin story.
You were trying to say originated.
I did, and I caught myself. I caught myself. So, years and years ago, when we just started becoming friends, whenever we were talking and kind of like in a deep story or argument, one of us, if we didn't believe the other person or question them, would make a face. You describe it better what the face looks like.
Yeah. So like, all right. So, you know, like when you're talking to your friend, you know that they're full of it or you're challenging whatever they're saying. You kind of give them like a look. You like put your chin down. You kind of look up like sheepishly like.
He's
on.
Making the face.
Come on, I'm making the face. Right. We really need to get like a camera.
I do have a picture that I want to post at some point. The animated one, yeah.
Yes. But anyways, you kind of give them that look like, come on.
Yeah.
The face.
And we never really like named it or described it, so
we named
it became the face.
Yeah.
And when we were on the phone with each other and could not make the face, we had to try to explain.
You inserted it into the sentence.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, you took that shot really well, the face.
Face.
and it goes further from there. We're such losers, but
we really are.
But like, we would tell a story, and like, if you meant you were telling the truth, like, I had a great date last night, no face. So like, you, without any like doubt in like the person listening's mind, like, I am telling the truth. I meant what I said. But
or if you said this episode is good,
the
face
it
you
sucks. But then sometimes if you're not sure how you feel about something, be like, oh well. This episode's good. The face, no face, the face, no face, the face.
The face, no
the
face.
The face, no face, no face.
So that's kind of how the face became a thing. That should be one of our goals is every episode we should explain one of our inside jokes or something that we do all the time.
I feel like we were subconsciously doing that.
Yeah.
Anyways, but I think, yeah, every episode until at least we run out of like, which I don't think we will. There's
we'll
so many.
Run out.
We will explain one of our stupid like isms.
Isms.
Like, I don't know what to preface that with, but one of our stupid, like, things in our vernacular that none of you care about, but we'll find funny.
So
the content you didn't know you needed.
Yeah. Now that the intro's out of the way and all of the...
I'm doing another one.
Have fun.
This is like the fourth shot I've done in 2021. They've all happened tonight. So good luck.
So going back to what I was starting to begin to talk about, which is we are approaching tonight, or the next couple nights, the 1 year anniversary of when the country shut down and we went into quarantine lockdowns. I think with the anniversary upon us, we should kind of talk about our experience. What are you looking at?
I see like flashing lights. I think someone's getting arrested next door. Continue. I'm going to go look.
Yeah, go investigate. So we're a year into COVID.
False alarm is a tow truck.
So we're a year into the lockdowns, a year into quarantine, and we're at a different spot now than we were.
We're a year into COVID. Quarantine was more like two-ish weeks.
Well, quarantine was like a solid month and a half, two months. Think? Yeah, I mean.
But there was like a two-week, there was a 14-day, like, don't leave your fucking house.
But no one followed
mass,
that.
In mass.
But like, I would think, so let me put it this way. You're not an essential worker.
No.
You were more essential, or I guess...
No, I'm far from essential.
Well, no, I was going to say, like, you were closer to essential because of how early you came back to work, but you're not an essential worker.
No.
So, no. When did you go back to work?
I went back June 1st. I stopped, like, about exactly a year ago from mid-March. It was in the teens, mid-March. Yeah. And I went back June 1st, and then we reopened in early July, but we had to have like a month to set up.
I would say the quarantine was from March 14th or whatever until that June 1st date.
That's fair. But I would say in terms of like a mandatory two-week thing.
But no one followed that. So
I would say no one followed it. Like I sort of did.
I think that if you sort of did, you didn't.
That I agree.
Yeah.
So, but I guess what my point is... That
is
in it. Bit rude, bruv, innit?
Bit rude that bruv, innit?
But no, my point is, I guess, the terminology of like distinguishing between quarantine and just the pandemic, COVID itself being a thing.
So I guess my point is from when we all went home from work.
We shut down initially a year ago.
Yeah. Well, I was saying, what was your... sort of, what was your mindset? What'd you do from that first date that you got sent home up until you went back to work?
Okay.
So not even talking about the whole pandemic because we're a year into it. And I think that now, a year later, with vaccinations and with cases going down, people aren't really as afraid or as following the rules as much. But in that beginning period of time, when everyone was home, everybody was afraid and didn't know much, what was your thought process and what did you do from that first date until you went back to work?
I am feeling it. I just want to say that. I am already feeling it, so maybe I'll hold off on shot number four.
That should be next week's thing kind of feeling it. I'm feeling it. Like, but what does it mean?
I mean, I think people can figure out that, like, what I'm saying.
Yeah,
if I'm kind of feeling it, it means that I'm feeling the effects of the substance that I put in my body. It's not like they can figure that out. but that is something that we say all the time, like, IKFI, I'm kind of feeling it. And, like, we force it, too. But anyways, like, so in the beginning of quarantine, like, when... all this first happened, I had so many things going. Like, I was going through, like, an abrupt kind of, like, random breakup with a serious girlfriend at the time. So I was, like, mostly focused on, like, figuring that out and getting, like, the mental health hurdle dealt with. But when I got the news, my boss called me. I remember it vividly. I was downstairs in my first floor with my tenant who lived there because we're close. And we both worked together. And my boss calls me, we put my boss on speakerphone, and then she told us the news, and I immediately start looking at flights to Hawaii. I'm calling my friends, and I'm like, fuck yeah, let's go, like, flights are gonna be so cheap, like, let's do it. And then I kind of, like, reality kind of set in, like, a few minutes later, like, no, like, this is serious, like, I don't know what's gonna happen, I don't want to die, I don't want to affect anybody else, and I don't know, even if I didn't care and I wanted to be kind of selfish, which I later on in the pandemic was kind of selfish and I kind of did what I wanted, like, within reason, I didn't know if I'd be able to come back here if I went to Hawaii or I went to wherever. So life kind of, like, a lot of things happened at once. So I'm, like, locked down. This is before I got my dog, too. Just by myself in my apartment. I had just evicted the crazy tenants, Dan.
Dan.
I knew you were going to do that. Literally, like, side note, couldn't have gotten them out at a better time, because had I been unable to evict them before this happened, I would have been stuck with these nightmare people for...
Dan.
For literally... who knows how long and who knows what they could have done. And I replaced them with people who, like, were the easiest tenants ever. So that was nice. But yeah, so, I mean, I went to Costco a lot. I stocked up on a lot of stuff, which I would do normally anyways. But what did you do? Because I'm starting to feel it.
Yeah, no. So I was, when you mentioned Costco, I remember it was probably 2 or 3 days into the shutdown, and I went to Market Basket. I was living with my mom, and she didn't feel comfortable going out, and understandable, so I went. I'm waiting in line for an hour just to get into Market Basket. Once we got into the store, this was in the very beginning, so they had the one-way arrows in each aisle. You could only have X amount of people in the aisles and so on and so forth. So I'm doing my best to follow the guidelines and follow what everyone in the store is saying. And I get to an aisle in which one of the things that I wanted was like literally 2 steps into the aisle. No one was in the aisle. I was by myself. So I in my mind, I'm like, let me just run in really quick, get the thing that I need, and I'll run out. No harm, no foul. Just so happens that while I'm getting the thing that I need, an older lady comes in the opposite way and comes up to me and starts making a huge scene. Why are you not following the rules? This is one way for a reason. The young people are the reason why COVID's a thing. I'm trying to be nice, but I don't have a lot of patience. I'm trying to tell her, listen, my carriage is right there. I'm literally 2 steps in the aisle. I'm going to be gone in 2 seconds. She's still going off. No, you need to leave. Get out of the store. And an employee just happened to kind of walk by while we were in this argument. And I'm trying to explain to him, like, listen, I just needed to get this thing really quick. It's 2 feet in the aisle.
I mean, you were in the wrong.
Well, but he was on my side.
I've been in your position and I do it all the time. But technically speaking, I understand where she was coming from.
No,
but
I know.
Sorry, continue. I'll check that off.
That's 4. So then I got mad and just like kind of screamed.
I'm winning this whole interruption thing by far. I'm at 5. You're only at 1.
Yeah, exactly. You don't fucking realize. So I only really went grocery shopping a couple of times because, again, I was kind of afraid too. So we did bulk shopping trips, got a lot of food and drinks, and then we wanted to see what would happen. And I think as we started to get into April and May, we started to, not that we didn't care anymore, but we were like, okay, if we get it, we're only with each other. So it's not like we're exposing other people. We're not like...
We kept our circle small.
Yeah. And for me, I work at a school, and when it first happened, there was no Zoom classes. Like, that was still brand new. So for me, it was like, I'm on vacation.
Right.
And it just so happened because of how, like, you know, in the fourth quarter of school, all of the hardest parts of school are done.
It's the home stretch.
Yeah, you're the home stretch, especially after April break. It's like, what is there? Like,
right, and now you guys are going back for that.
Yeah, if you take APs, which I took APs in high school, you know, May and June can be kind of difficult, but
yeah,
for the most part, your electives are a joke. After you take your finals, it's really not that big of a deal. So for us, it was like, the kids don't really care. Not that we don't care, but everything is so brand new, and it's hard to create a brand new curriculum for 2 months.
I mean, it's completely uncharted territory.
Yeah, so I was like, fuck it, I'm on vacation. So, like I mentioned last episode, I was buying wine and I was buying tequila and I was...
We drank, like,
yeah,
every night, and we would have a taco... I think I mentioned it
Taco
last
Tuesday,
episode. We would
yeah.
have a Taco Tuesday game night every Tuesday and we'd just get hammered and play, like, Jackbox TV games.
Me
off. And side note... This is terrible, but I taught my, like, 7-year-old stepbrother that whenever we're playing a card game, if a jack gets played, he is to say, me off, and he does it. He has no idea what he's saying, and I'm a terrible influence, but it's so, so fun.
There's going to come a point when he gets sent to the principal's office, and your dad and your stepmother...
No, my stepmom literally has said to me, when he gets called, you're going to the meeting. Not
yeah.
me, you, because it's
fair.
Your fault.
Yeah.
Well, because one time, this is another story. So my stepbrother, he's 7. He draws a hopscotch in the driveway at my father's house.
Okay.
And the starting block, if you will, first block is a semicircle. So half of a circle.
It's a penis.
It looks like a tip, if you will. And you know, then you have a few more rectangular or square blocks along the way, known as the shaft. And then it all culminates with yet another semicircle.
The balls.
No, another tip. So I said, and I didn't know he was within earshot, who the fuck drew a double-sided dildo in your driveway? And then my stepbrother goes, he has like a little bit of a speech impediment. He goes, what's a double-sided dildo? And now that's part of his vocabulary and he uses it regularly and I'm to blame 100%.
People that listen to our podcast literally must be like, how do they go from talking about a national pandemic to double-sided dildos?
The answer to that question is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Better known as ADHD.
And my lack of taking a medication for it.
So bringing it back to COVID and quarantining, over the last year, you've taken four
cheers
shots
me.
In 28
fucking
minutes.
Fucking cheers me. Clink.
Going back to when quarantine started, what would you say from last March to now is your biggest accomplishment that you were able to get during quarantine or during COVID?
I mean, it's hard for me to name one because honestly, like I have tried to be pretty productive with my time. And like I, generally speaking, just me, who I am as a person, like I'm trying to take as much action as possible and accomplish things. Like I try not to be sedentary. But I think it's probably selling my house. Like it's going to be, you know, probably the biggest amount of money I'll see in at one time that's I've had up until this point. Like, you know, like I've had six-figure years, but this will be my first six-figure day, which is fucking crazy to me. And, like, you know, I'm like, we used to pay for McDonald's in dimes and nickels, and now it's like, well, now I actually have, like, something that I can do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I actually, before I continue, I do want to go back to last episode when we talked about, like, oh, we stole and this and that.
Yeah.
We stole out of necessity, like you said, but I do want to mention, when you're in college, and this is just if you're a regular college student, you run out of your meal plan money pretty regularly.
It's tough.
Imagine
it really is.
Supporting another person with no job, so you have no money, you have no meal plan money. We had to do what we did, and I bring this up to say about McDonald's. We would literally download the McDonald's app to get a free medium fry.
To be fair, I still do this.
But at the time, it's like we're scrounging pennies and nickels just to be able to get a McDouble and a McChicken,
like,
which
were
$2.
Not like, ooh, I want McDonald's, I'm drunk, which that did happen.
Yeah.
But more just like, we don't have food. And like, if it weren't for Patrick, I wouldn't have had a place to stay. You know, because at the time, like, I was... like, couch surfing is a nice way of putting it, but I was technically homeless when I was 19. And if it weren't for you, like, you know, I'm eternally grateful for that. You know, I would have been, I don't know what I would have done. But we were legit, like, you know, when we say, like, stealing or, like, should I say, like, the term that we use for it?
Maybe in a different episode.
Okay, well, we have a word for that, but we'll use it later. But this was, like, not, like, it's not even, like, we joke about it, we, like, not even, like, it might sound like we're bragging about it. Like, did we get more efficient or, like, good at getting away with it? Like, yeah, sure, if you do anything enough times, like, you'll probably figure out how to do it, like, well. But it literally was, like, our stomachs were, like, in pain. Like, we needed to eat. There was no, we had no money. We had used up every last dollar on Patrick's meal plan. We didn't have... you know, not that, like, our parents didn't love us, but, like, they had their own struggles as well. Like, it was just us.
And I think in the very beginning of when you were living with me and we still had a little bit of money left over, I remember we bought...
Wait, side note, I'm sorry. I think that, like, when...
Write it down.
I wrote it down, but, okay. Like, I want to make this point because I want to ask you a question to see if I'm remembering it right. I think that when we were sharing your, like, tiny single dorm room... you were on the mattress, and I was on the mattress pad next to you on the floor, just to kind of paint the picture for people. And then we had, like, a pile of laundry just sitting in the corner. And there was one day, I don't know why I'm remembering this, like, I was trying to find out if, like, a pair of my underwear were clean. I picked up a pair of his dirty underwear and sniffed them. I was like, nope, they're fucking dirty.
And to paint a timeline, this happened from the first night back from Thanksgiving break until winter break. So
And then again after winter break.
No, it was before Thanksgiving break for like a couple of nights. And then for like 5 weeks after Thanksgiving break. But what I wanted to say was, in the very beginning, when I still had a couple bucks, we went.
But like literally like seven.
Yeah, we went to the liquor store and we wanted to get some booze. So we literally bought $7 vodka, which I don't even know the name of it.
Zenka.
It was Zenka. So we bought Zenka and chased it with water.
Oh, it was the worst. And you took a shot. You took like NyQuil.
Yeah. And we would get really drunk, go to party, and then we would walk to McDonald's because my car didn't have enough gas to even get to the gas station.
Oh, my God.
So we would walk in the middle of December in New Hampshire, a mile and a half to McDonald's with pennies and a McDonald's app to get a McChicken and a McDouble and a fry and then walk all the way back to my room.
I mean, I don't even know if we even got that much, like, but there was one time, I got two stories.
This
there,
is like, just
there's so many stories.
I don't want to go too, like, in-depth with it, because that could be a whole episode in itself, just talking about.
Oh, but there's one story I really want you to tell.
Which one?
The one when we were walking back from McDonald's.
That's
a good story.
I do want to tell that story, that's but a good not, story. I want to provide context and background info, and
okay,
I just, we don't have enough time to do that.
Okay.
But I do want to say, wrapping up, back to quarantine and COVID, because we do such a great job of staying on topic. The biggest thing, or the thing I'm most proud of, is actually starting this podcast. We've talked about doing this for years, and we've always found an excuse. We always said, it wouldn't be funny. No one would listen. And we're doing it. And I actually texted Zuko today when I was at work. It was surreal and emotional to go on Apple Podcasts and Spotify
and see
our fucking thing up there with our logo and everything. It was just like, we made this literally with a couple of microphones in your vacant second floor, and now it's available on all of these major streaming platforms. It's just kind of crazy
to think
about.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool seeing it. It really is. It's a good feeling. It's gratifying. And I'm glad we're doing it. It's fun. Like, even if we have to like get hammered to fucking stand each other right now.
Well, and that's the funny thing is, the first episode, I mean, I've podcasted for years and I've never been embarrassed or shy. Watching how uncomfortable you were doing the first episode made me so uncomfortable that it took us like a solid hour just to actually get through 2 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even say like uncomfortable, like, if you guys are listening, like, I got a lot on my plate right now. Like, I'm moving, I'm selling my house, and I have, like, we'll get into it more like in a real estate episode, but like, in order to defer my taxes, I only have 45 days to basically purchase like 3 new properties with my profits. So like, I'm doing like a lot of things at once and trying to like record this. So like, the first round, like the first draft, if you will. I honestly forget what I was saying. What was I saying?
Somebody FaceTimed me and it went through my MacBook and we just lost all of our
I totally momentum. Lost all my momentum. No, but what I was saying before was like, so I have a lot going on, and I wasn't like necessarily awkward. I was just having a bad day because of everything going on. And I feel like there was another point that I was going to make and your friend fucking ruined it.
Jordy, thanks a
lot. Jordy, you fucking bitch. Even though I hear Jordy's a fan of mine, even though I haven't met her yet.
She nicknamed you Pookie.
I know.
Zuki Pookie.
I don't know how I feel about Zuki Pookie. I prefer. What did your cousin say about me?
I'm not going to even get into it. Anyways, moving forward.
She called me Chris Evans is what she said.
Yeah, like you need the fucking ego boost.
And then another one of your cousins once said I was chiseled, I think was the adjective.
I don't remember.
It was, I can't share that with you guys.
Yeah, but so let's kind of transition since you're talking about moving and your real estate and all of that. Just how much of a fucking bitch moving is. And you've moved more than I have, way more than I have. I've probably moved, even if I count moving in and out of college, 4 or 5 times.
Right, which is normal. It's kind of what you strive to do as a human. I've moved, without like counting every single one, maybe 20 times, if not more. Like, not a ton of stability for me. And honestly, that's why like owning this house was such a big deal to me, and why it's like super bittersweet selling it, and like I'm super emotional about it. Is like, this is the first time I really had any like, you know, like I've been kicked out by like relatives and people I was living with. I've like had to move just because my parents moved or whatever. This is the first time I was able to not only provide housing for myself that I could control, which was a huge deal to me, but I also provided housing for others. Like, my first floor tenants were people who moved from New Jersey to Mass and didn't really have anywhere to go but because they found a job at the casino here.
This was honestly the first place that I moved in on my own. So it's not as bittersweet for obviously for me, but it's still a little emotional. This is the first place I ever moved in on my own.
Yeah, I mean, you were a part of it. And like, I honestly like...
With Dan.
But I honestly thought like I would own this forever. Like I was hesitant to put it on the market because even though the market's super hot and like I'll make a good profit, you know, I am attached to it. Like, this is my first home that was actually my home. Like, not my parents' house, not where I live, not a dorm room, not like, this was my home. Like, I bought it, I, you know, made it my own, and it's kind of tough leaving it. Like, I'm getting emotional even right now, like, packing it up and talking about it. Like, it's you know, it's really bittersweet.
Yeah, so when I was born, I basically lived in the same house from when I was born until I was 23. Now, I obviously moved into my own dorm and apartments in college, but it's not the same. And I remember when we were moving out of my house in Saugus, it was an emotional time because it's like the first place you ever lived. So that's like kind of the closest I've gotten because I never owned a house.
I mean, I think it's very similar, if not the same thing. You just didn't own it. That's the only difference.
But it's your home.
Your childhood home.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, you didn't get to experience that as much.
No, I was more like childhood homeless. But no, I wasn't homeless. My parents loved me, sort of.
The face. No, I'm kidding.
No
face.
No face. No face.
No face.
No face. No face. No face.
No face.
We're not sure if there's a face.
There's no face.
No, my parents love me. They do. My parents do love me.
No, they're great people. But looking at just moving as a whole, and I'll touch on it first and then you can kind of add on since you're in the process. So I've moved a lot in the last year because I moved in here, out of my mom's into a new place. So three times in a year. And the thing that just sucks, it's not really any one thing. It's just everything together.
I think it's packing.
Well, no, it is packing, but it's like you got to rent the truck. You got to pack. You got to find people that will help you move your fucking heavy shit and kind of like not undersell it, but it's just a couple of big pieces that will take like two guys maximum.
Yep.
And then you're sitting there at 8 in the morning carrying a fucking big ass bureau. And really funny story, when I was moving into this apartment, I asked Zuko if he could come help me move. And I really only needed him for a dresser, a bureau, and my bed. And we were trying to carry the mattress. I have a big queen mattress, and I was trying to carry it out of my mom's condo, which are very narrow, windy stairs. My best description would be like Ross from Friends. Pivot!
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 So we got to the bottom of the stairs, and I'm trying to tell Zuko, like, let me put this down and we can reconfigure. And Zuko was like, fuck it, I'll just do it myself. Picks the whole mattress up and starts going down the stairs. But because of physics and momentum, the mattress kind of swayed on top of his head. And he kind of flipped and landed on top of the mattress in the middle of the parking lot.
I'm laughing.
He's laughing. My mom's upstairs laughing. Very funny
time.
I
wish we got that on video. It would have been on like America's Funniest Home Videos. Like, it honestly was fucking hilarious.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've been in... not packing every day, but you've been kind of in the process for the last like 2 or 3 weeks. So just like, what's been the biggest bitch through this whole process? I mean, obviously take out finding the properties and all of that, just in the process.
I mean,
of
like
moving.
For like the normal, like obviously I have more on my plate than the average person, like with the other stuff, like in terms of acquisitions, but like packing just sucks, man. Like there's so much shit. Like, do I really need this? Or like I'm putting most of my stuff in storage. Cause I'm a cheap fuck. Like, I'm going back to live with my grandparents right now temporarily. Like, I didn't get a new apartment. I didn't immediately buy something else. I'm kind of biding my time a little bit. So I'm not bringing any of my stuff besides clothes and, you know, essentials to the next home that I'm going to have. So I'm, like, going through all my stuff, and there's so much, like, I didn't even, like... I buy so much dumb shit on Amazon, like, which this is a tangent, but I spent $7 buying the little, like, hibachi boy that pees sake. Like, I bought that. I literally bought that. I bought a fucking dumpling maker. When the fuck am I going to make a dumpling?
Never, but like, it's always like, if you ever do make a dumpling.
I got it. Yeah. I have it. You want dumplings? I am your guy. once I look up a recipe on fucking Pinterest. But, like, but yeah, I mean, honestly, packing's, like, the worst part of it because, like, you can't really outsource that. Like, you could. People will do anything for money. But normally, you hire movers. You rent a truck. Yeah. You don't hire a packer necessarily. Like, no. Because people aren't going to value your stuff more than you are.
I think the packing is important to do yourself because, like you said, it's your
and
shit.
Organizing it, yeah.
And then when you have, like, the word fragile on the box, you can tell the movers, this is fragile, don't fuck
it. I wrote it on everything regardless of whether it was or not.
Well, which is funny because we're the ones moving.
Yeah, like, everything's fucking fragile.
Zuko's just having
shit.
All of us help him
move. Yeah, no, I have a couple movers. Friends help me out and rent the truck.
But
they're getting hibachi afterwards, and, like, they're going to have the peeing boy for real by some other guy doing it.
I actually have a funny story that I want to talk about. When I moved out of this apartment from Zuko's house, I came after work, and if you listen to the first episode, this was 4 days after the knife was to my throat, and I almost died. So I got a friend from work, and we came here on a Friday. It was the coach who...
Okay.
That's a whole other episode about how one of my ex-friends stole $2,000 from me. But anyways... So my friend and I come here. It's Friday afternoon after work. And I'm like, listen, we got to get in and out really quick. I don't even know if Dan and his girlfriend are in the apartment. I'm like, the goal is to get in, get out as quick as possible. So we come in. Dan's room is, the door's closed. So I don't know if he's here or not. And I'm like, listen, let's just get the shit. It's already packed. We just got to literally move it from my room down the stairs to the truck. One thing that we never mentioned about Dan, and this is kind of the first red flag, was Dan asked if he could have pets. And Zuko said, it depends on the pet. Or what did you actually say?
So in there, they had a month-to-month tenant at will agreement. And I was just like, dude, like, run it by me. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
And so he ran it by me, and I okayed it. But he didn't run it by his... roommate.
Yeah, so I didn't know that conversation was had. So Zuko and I had just come from Walmart or Target, and Dan is in the driveway with a big ass fucking snake around his neck. And my first thought was, why do you have a snake around your neck? To which Dan responded, I just got him. Do you like him? So I lived with this big ass snake in my apartment.
It
for
was
three
a
months.
Baby ball python.
It was not a baby.
It was. They get much bigger.
I don't know how big pythons get.
Well, I do.
But
it was
this
a baby.
Python was fucking big.
It was like maybe 2 feet long. It wasn't big. Have you seen a reticulated python or an anaconda?
I'm not a big animal person, but if you saw when Dan fed him the mouse and how he ate it, I didn't want this thing just wandering around the apartment.
Yeah, but a dead frozen mouse is different than, like, a human being.
Regardless, the
They're
point of the story...
They're docile animals.
But anyway, so the point of the story, I tell my friend...
The snake was fine.
We get into the apartment, and my friend has a big fear of snakes. So he comes in the living room and didn't know that there was a big snake there, and he sees the snake and starts losing his mind. Now, again, I don't know if Dan's home, so I'm, like, trying to whisper, like, dude, just get to my room. We're going to move this shit out of here ASAP. And we did it very quickly, but I guess the thing that you don't really anticipate or understand is when you're in the process of moving, it might not look like a lot, but you need to put things in a certain order because when you get to your storage or your new apartment, you got to take things out. So whatever goes in last needs to be what comes out first at the new place because you don't want to put the biggest things in the back and then have to wait because those are the first things going in.
Well, also, if you need to access it in the future... Like, for me, for, like, this example, right, for this move, I'm going to have to load my vending machines first because they're in storage at my house right now. I'm going to have to load them first in the truck because I want them in the front for when I secure a new location near my new home.
No, so you want to put those in at the end because those will be the first things that are available.
No, because when I'm loading the storage, everything else goes in first.
So where are the machines going?
So when I load the truck leaving my house...
Yes.
I'm going to put them in the very back of the truck, so that they're offloaded the truck last and put in the storage last. So I have access to them when I open it up.
Oh, yes.
That way,
yes.
I land a new account,
okay,
I put
sense.
It in there, I don't have to dig.
We can also, like, finesse it so that, like, you kind of
put it to the side
and you can get in there without, like, having to move all the machines.
For it yourself, I can't reach.
This is what, shot number five? Four?
Well, I think it's shot number five.
This is four down here and five in total.
Five for me.
No,
right?
Five in total.
So
upstairs.
Four since we started recording the second attempt and then five on the night. Because
we did one upstairs.
Which, like, I mean, I was a lightweight when I was drinking consistently. I don't really know what's in store for
what
all
was
of us.
The name of, I think it was vodka, It was like named after a cereal, and you used to get fucking.
It was loopy.
Loopy, and you used to get loopy, loopy off of it.
Oh my God. So KJ actually introduced us to loopy,
yes,
right?
Yes, she did.
And this stuff, it tastes like the milk when you have Fruit Loop cereal and you finish the cereal and you got the milk left over.
But it's like the milk if you left it there for 25 minutes and it's like the Fruit Loops.
The sugar,
yeah.
And the fruit, and the fake fruit, I guess. But like this was like, I don't like get sloppy drunk very often. I mean, I have like several times.
Yeah.
But like in terms of like, it's not super common.
Yeah.
For other people, maybe it is. I'm looking right at one.
What do you...
you've gotten better.
Well, we all know that I'm... If you knew me in college, I was a very sloppy drunk.
But you've grown up a lot.
What do you think is, like, your sloppiest night? Maybe if with me
you,
or not
I think
me.
You would know better than I would, honestly, because, like, I've never actually blacked out completely. Like, there might be, like, brownouts where I forget a thing
I
or
can
two.
Name two times when you were dead, pretty much. It was one night at Snoo, which I don't even know, like, where
I mean,
we
there
were.
Was the loopy night. Like, because I was on FaceTime with what's-her-name, like, every 10 minutes, and I was puking in the bathroom because I drank
Who
an entire... Florida. I drank, like, an entire fifth of fucking loopy. I mean, you had some, too, but I drank a lot.
Well, no, you were very loopy that night.
And I wasn't even 20. I think I was 20.
I don't even know how old you were, but the one that comes to mind recently was after... It was like, I think, a year ago, the future Meek Mill concert.
Oh, I was...
You were puked like 5 times in my bathroom.
Yeah, I
did. Because I remember I was texting your girlfriend at the time because you were like dead.
Were you texting her for
you
me?
You literally got into my bed and just dropped your phone on the floor and passed out. And like, middle of the conversation, I'm like texting her like, yeah, Zuko passed out. And then I got woken up every 2 hours to just hearing Zuko puke like a velociraptor, literally.
I literally, like, when I puke, when I'm drunk, I sound like the velociraptors from Jurassic World. We actually played them side by side, and it sounds the fucking same.
And all of, like, the capillaries in his face will burst.
Yeah,
so his eyes and his cheeks are all red. He's just fucking... Yeah,
you can tell if I'm, like, if I was hammered and puking the night before, because like Patrick said, like, there'll be these little red dots, like,
yeah.
Little, like, mini freckles. Like, not even the size of a freckle, like, they're tiny.
Yeah, less than that.
Like, all underneath my eyelids and, like, my upper cheekbone and, like, around my eyebrows.
Yeah.
Like, all, like, the stress of, like, me, like, puking, like, yakking, like, causes, like, the capillaries or whatever
yeah.
to pop. And so I just have, like, these little red dots, like, after I've been puking.
What I love about Zuko when he's, like, at that state, he doesn't give a fuck what anyone else cares about, what's funny. Zuko just wants to play the funniest things in his mind. So remember there was a night where it was a Taco Tuesday night. You were very drunk.
Oh, my God.
And you started playing Thurnis, Fontaine, Kinko's.
No, I like, so we had, like, it was me, Patrick, our friend Kim, and a girl that I was, like, sort of dating, seeing at the time. And, like, only Patrick and myself found these YouTube videos funny. Or as, like, we found them significantly funnier than they did.
Yeah.
I didn't give a shit. I paused the game that we were playing. I think we were playing Fibbage or something like
Fibbage,
that.
Yeah.
Fun ass game, by the way.
No face.
No face. Very fun game.
Fun game.
Fun Dane. And so I turn off the game and like on like my TV, I pull up YouTube and I just start playing these stupid videos that like we find hilarious and just playing them one after another. And, yeah, I didn't care. I wanted to see them, and I wanted to laugh, and, yeah, that's what happened.
But I'll give you credit. You get very drunk because you're a lightweight, but you've never been, like, I've been slop. Like,
I mean, I have.
I need to be carried into the house because I'm, like, I mean, I was roofied once, which is.
That's another story. We'll tell that another time.
Should I just tell it now?
Well, I mean, you don't remember it, so maybe I should tell it.
Well, let me tell what I remember, and then you can tell the full story.
Okay, deal.
Fair?
Deal.
So it was Halloween.
2015?
My junior year, so it was 2014.
Was it 2014?
Yeah, my junior year. So 2014, Halloween, we went to Merrimack.
We did.
For a party. Or really just went to like
we
party
went,
hop,
yeah, we
I guess.
Went to my one of my friends, because I used to go there.
Yeah.
I had since dropped out, and we went to go visit one of my friends pregame and party
yeah.
with him and his friends.
So in our ratchet beginnings, we brought like half a bottle of Zenka, and we would just kind of like,
was it Zenka?
Yeah, it was Zenka. We just kind of like took shots out of the water bottle at the pregame. Everything
oh,
was
yeah.
good. I only probably had 3 or 4 shots, so like I wasn't like even that drunk going into the party. We go to this party, Zuko starts talking to, I think it was a couple of girls.
It was a couple of girls that I wanted to introduce you to.
And I had gotten separated from Zuko, so I was more towards the
back. Well, because I said, hey, let me go get these girls. I want to introduce you.
Between like people shuffling around, you know when you're at a like tight party and people start pushing by, you get moved. So now I'm standing kind of maybe 5 feet from the DJ, which is in the back of the apartment. The DJ hands me a drink, and he points at Tash on the shoulder and says, give this drink, and points to a girl and says, give it to that girl. So I tell him, yeah, bro, I got you. So when he turns around, I'm like,
what did you do?
I'm like, fuck that. I'm just going to drink it because like it's a free drink. Little did I know there was a lot of Rufalin in that drink. Short-term roofies.
Well, we don't know like exactly what substance
there was a substance in it that 5 minutes after I drank it, I was stumbling, fell into the DJ table, knocked all of the shit over, and got booted out.
And yeah, we got kicked out of the party. So like So Patrick is by the DJ, is handed a drink, right? He was supposed to give it to some girl.
Just said all this, yes.
Side note, like, what the fuck? This dude was straight up trying to roofie this chick.
Yeah.
So
Patrick, not for my selfishness, whatever.
So Patrick thinks that he's like a savior when he really... Yes, you were accidentally, but you were just a selfish drunk fuck.
I was. I admit it. I totally was.
Well, for years, he finally admits it that he was like... not intentionally a savior, but he was going around like, I'm a feminist. I save women from getting date raped.
I never said that I was a feminist for it. I mean, I am a feminist, but.
Anyways, so Patrick's like, I am your Lord and Savior, Patrick Shankor. And
how you doing?
But so I come back with these girls who like I was really good friends with and I wanted to introduce Patrick to.
Yeah. Was it? K&T?
It was K&T.
Yeah.
I don't talk to either of them anymore. But
well, I just want that's the IDW in action right there.
Yeah, this the acronyms. But anyway, so it was K&T, and I'm separated from him getting these girls to introduce him, like totally as friends. It wasn't like it was anything like that. And Patrick's fucking dying over there right now. What's
I'm
going
just
on
thinking
in your head?
We said K&T, and I keep thinking of that Future song. It's crazy, but it's true.
I guess we'll explain this one. So there, on
every story turns into 10 different stories.
It really
explaining
does.
Every other backstory.
All right, so let me explain this one. So before we continue the roofie story, on Future's album The Wizard, there's a song called "Crazy But It's True." And crazy in the title is spelled with a K, K-R-A-Z-Y. And he kind of lists off a series of, like, really opulent, like, you have to have wealth to have these things. Like, he said, like, my house has, like, a fish tank with a shark in it or something like that. And there's, like, some other lines.
It's crazy.
But it's true. And so, like, his, like, recurring, like, what the hook, I suppose, is, like, it's crazy. But it's true.
Yeah.
And so, like, all the time we'll be like, it's K, but it's T. And so I said, K and T. And he goes, it's K, but it's T. God, we're so fucking stupid.
Anyways, back to the roofie
night. But anyway, so Patrick got fucking roofied. So I come back with K and T. And it's K, but it's T. Patrick had chugged this fucking drink. And he's trying to chug the drink right now across from me. Swallow.
I keep taking shots. As Zuko tells the funny part of the story.
Well, and that's just not smart.
I get
on
the
your
shot
part.
Halfway down, then I start laughing and it starts coming back up.
Yep.
It's K, but it's T.
It's K, but it's T. So I reconvene with Patrick and I can tell that he's off. Like, cause he, like, I'll give you credit. You chugged that bitch.
I did.
Like, he was given this drink. It was supposed to go to some girl. I'm glad that it didn't go to a woman that got taken advantage of. Like, so, thank you, Patrick, for your service to the community.
Anytime.
So Patrick's off, like, AF. And then I really don't, like, remember exactly what transpired at. We made the introduction. And then somehow Patrick later on, like a few minutes later in the party after like some small talk with these girls, ends up like tripping and falling and collapsing the fucking DJ table. And then we got kicked out of said party.
A lot of the next parts aren't important, but to get to like the main point, we walk into a dorm and it's very obvious that I'm fucked up.
Well, we ended up at a different party before.
Well, I'm saying that doesn't really matter. What I'm saying, the main point is like we end up at a dorm and campus police.
So we try to enter the dorm.
Yes.
And like we would have been fine. And there's another story that we'll tell another time. Patrick's not the best at hiding that he's fucked up.
Not at all. Not at all.
Um, there's another story that we'll tell another time and when we have video because that's important. But anyway, so we enter this.
But the father's my correctional.
Yes, that one. Yeah. The Hampton Beach fiasco. But that's a story for another time. We enter this dorm and you know you have an RA who's checking you in, and if we hadn't drawn. And I say we, it was really Patrick. If Patrick hadn't drawn attention to us, we would have been fine. But my friend who was hosting us didn't put us on the guest list, so that also didn't help us. But had my friend, you know, done the procedures correctly and had Patrick not been like, drawing attention to us, we probably would have been fine, just went up, crashed in my friend's dorm, whatever. But he drew attention to us.
Sorry.
So the campus police were called and two rent-a-cops show up. It's like one young dude who's probably like in his first like gig.
Yeah.
Like, had to be in his early 20s. And one
older woman.
Like middle-aged woman, probably
in her 40s.
Late 40s, yeah. I would say. Like definitely wanted to be taken seriously, both of them.
Oh yeah.
And they were not messing around.
And that's important to say because they were very strict and told us to stay in our chairs and they were going to come back.
We didn't.
Not that we didn't. So I'm sitting there, as Zuko has explained, I'm fucking gone. So I'm literally just laying in this chair.
You were doing that thing where you kind of bop your head back and forth.
Yeah, I'm bopping my head. I'm out of it. Zuko's brilliant idea is they're fucking gone. Let's just leave. What are they going to do? Track us down? So... Me and Zuko leave.
And they tracked us down.
And they tracked us down and put us in the back of their cop car.
Well, before we got to that point, right? So, like Patrick said, we were in, like, the little, like, vestibule, like, sitting in the chairs, like, waiting to be processed or, like, whatever they were going to do with us. They were like, stay put. We didn't, like we said. And so we start walking to, we were at, like, one end of the campus. Where we parked was the very, very, very far back corner of the campus.
Yeah.
It was this parking lot that students referred to as rape lot. And I guess, like, I never really thought about how messed up that, like, term was until now. But that was, like, the slang term for the lot because it was, like, it was so far from campus that, like, you could get raped and no one would know, I think, is maybe where the joke came from. Like, I didn't make this up. That's just what we called it. So we parked in rape lot.
Canceled.
I mean, like, that's what we called it. Like, I didn't make it up. I'm not an advocate for calling it that. But, like, you know, we parked in rape lot. And that's you know, what the students called it at the time. I would love to see if a current Merrimack student, like, could, like, hit us up. And I wonder if they still call it that. But we called it rape lot, like, in my class, the one class I went to. So we parked, like, very far away from the dorm building that we were in. And we thought, it's a huge campus. It's two cops. There's other shit going on.
Don't say we, because I had no mindset. Patrick, it was you. You.
I'm at fault here. Well, Patrick's at fault for selfishly drinking that, but I'm at fault for leading us on this wild goose
shit. The DJ's at fault for drugging a drink for a girl.
Yeah, so, like, DJ Rapey Rape, like, it's really his fault. But
DJ Roofy.
DJ Roofy. Coming at you with a batch of Roofalin in your drink. Get it for just $5.
$5.
We should take shots while we do this more often. It's way more fun.
We should.
But so, yeah, so we're in rape lot. We're almost at the car.
Wait, who gave us the shot? Or who gave us the drink?
The DJ?
What was his name?
DJ Rapey Rape. I forgot you had that app. Patrick used to do that, like, at every college party. Anyway, so we're in rape lot. We're in rape lot where they think we're slick. I think I'm slick. Patrick's just fucking, like,
puking somewhere.
You weren't puking, but you were drooling. You did puke in between a couple of
drooling.
You did puke in between a couple of cars at one point, though.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, like, they're, like, little, like, rent-a-cop cruiser comes up. Like, campus police. And they're like, what are you doing? We literally, like, this is the one thing we told you not to do. And my dumb ass, I go, no, it's okay. I have a get-out-of-jail-free card. Just shove me.
Definitely
in the,
shouldn't have said that.
In hindsight, definitely should have said it.
So we're in the back of their rent-a-cruiser, and the older woman tells us, unless we can find someone to drive us home, we're going to jail.
We're spending a night in protective custody.
We're just sitting there. I'm not in the right mindset.
And how old were we?
2014. I was 20.
So
you were 19.
I was 19. He was 20.
Yeah. So out of literally the corner of Zuko's eye, he spots one of my cousins.
Who was a student at Merrimack.
Who was a student at Merrimack, but who I didn't really, like, associate with that much. Like, we're not that close, but, you know, at a party, we'll say hi to each other.
Like, you would see each other at family events, whatever.
She just happens to walk by the cruiser as we're there, and Zuko's like, isn't that your fucking cousin? And I drunkenly say her name to get her attention, and she ends up, like, I'm his cousin, and she drives us back to your mom's house, and we got off the hook.
My mom still is upset that you drooled on that couch.
I was
She
drugged.
Brings it up, like all
I'm
the time.
I'm sorry,
it
I
was so
drugged.
Many years ago. But, like, we wake up, and, like, there's drool stains all
and
the
it's
way
just
down.
Your mom and your sister staring at me, like, shaking
were,
their head.
They
like,
were
out
judging.
Of a sitcom. Like,
they were
like,
judging
we're,
the
yeah.
shit out of us.
I couldn't help it.
But they made
sorry.
Pancakes.
They
did
make
pancakes.
Good pancakes.
Great pancakes. GP.
So that's the story of how I got roofied.
Good time.
And, again, that just came from us talking about moving, and we got to me getting...
Yeah, what were we actually...
I really don't even know, to be honest with you.
I don't either. What the fuck were we talking about?
That's just classic us, literally
yeah.
talking about one thing and getting so far removed off of different tangents. So. All right, I'm going to cut you off because you don't really know what you're going to say next, and I want to transition to a little bit of news that broke this morning. We're recording this on Friday, March 12th. Cam Newton re-signed with the Patriots today on a one-year deal. And I'm a big Patriots fan, and I'm a big, not a hater, but I'm not a fan of Cam Newton. I love him as a person, think he has a great personality, does a lot of great things. Don't think he's a great quarterback. So I'm not very happy with the re-signing of Cam Newton, and I think that it's going to be, unless they have a plan to draft somebody early and develop.
What's their pick this year?
15th.
So they're not going to get any.
Well, they could trade up always, but.
But have they ever?
No. They'll probably draft like a left guard and call it a day. But I do want to say a big argument, especially between me and Zuko, his dad, and my friends. I am off of the Tom Brady boat. And a lot of people still support him, and I will never take away what he's done for the
organization. So what do you mean by that?
I'll never take away what Tom Brady did for the Patriots. I think he's the greatest quarterback of all time, and he was one of the first. He was the first jersey I ever owned of an athlete. He is the reason the Patriots are in the position that they're in today, meaning the reason why their roster isn't great, the reason why their team is so bad, and the reason why our younger offensive players aren't developed. That's why I'm not a Tom Brady fan at the moment. Also, the TB12 bullshit, like, oh, if you take these pills, you can't get COVID, or if you drink this
he
juice.
He never said that. Get the fuck out of here.
He doesn't say that, but his products are advertised like, if you drink this, you are less likely to get concussions.
I mean, maybe
you
are.
How the fuck can he say that? Concussions don't occur like a cold. Like, you have to hit your head and have the brain hit your skull to cause a concussion. What the fuck is his juice going to do?
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. I just said, like, he never said that anything cured COVID.
He has COVID pills that are supposed to heighten your immune system to block you from getting COVID.
So if your immune system is stronger, wouldn't that be better at fighting anything? Like, I don't know anything about this.
I don't know. I'm not great at science, but I would assume a foreign coronavirus like COVID, whether how strong your immune system is, if it doesn't know what it's fighting, you're going to get sick.
Well, no, like the problem with, and this is like more of like a science thing in general, like COVID doesn't seem to be, and there's exceptions to this, but COVID seems to be hurting people who are more obese or having pre-existing conditions or have weak, you know, they're immunocompromised, as we stated earlier in the podcast, or maybe in the first draft. I don't
that
remember.
That was the first draft.
It was the first draft. the one that we deleted, but so if your immune system is stronger, you're going to be better at preventing any illness if you have a strong immune system. COVID has been exploiting those who have weaker immune systems. So it may be a stupid or like snake oil salesman type of claim to say, take this pill, you won't get COVID, but there's nothing wrong with strengthening your immune system. That would be better for fighting any illness.
I'd have to reread the product description.
You'd have to reread it to agree that your immune system being strong is a good thing?
No, because I don't remember. I agree with your point.
Okay,
I don't remember if he was advertising you can't get COVID or not. But
I highly doubt he would say anything that absolute.
I don't know. His business partner, who's his personal trainer, Alex Guerrero.
Yeah.
He's been sued by the Better Business Bureau.
Well, the Better Business Bureau.
He's also made claims like, if you eat and drink these certain things, like, we can cure your cancer. Like, he's not very well respected in the medical field.
Well, I mean, that's a bit much. But, I mean, I also think that there's something to holistic healing. Like, big pharma and Western medicine is not the end-all, be-all. Like, there's a lot of holistic things that do work that I've done myself. But and the Better Business Bureau is also, like, it's not really, like, a legitimate entity itself. It's literally just consumers bitching about stuff. It's not, like, an actual agency that really does anything of note. I mean, because there's people like on various businesses that I whether I'm like I'm on the board or like I just know the owner, like they're legitimate businesses and they have like a lot of good things. And one unhappy customer can be like, oh, like it sucks. I'm gonna give it an F. And like it's not really like you can't go off the BBB. It's not. Really
I mean,
that strong
I don't
of a thing.
Hold that stuff against Brady to the forefront. It's more of how he. How he maneuvered through the last 2 or 3 years of him being here versus how he's acting now. And that's my biggest problem.
Well, can you elaborate on that? Because I don't, for me myself, I don't really know exactly
so
what you're saying, but
Brady's entire mantra throughout his career, I'm going to take less money. I want to help the team. I'm a team player. If you want to yell at me, Coach Belichick, to get other younger players in line, I'm all for it. Once the Patriots drafted Garoppolo, he changed. He felt threatened. Like, this guy is going to come in and replace me like everyone else has. And would go to Kraft and say, I don't want this guy here. It's very detailed. A lot of stories have been run. Before the trade deadline, this is 2017, Kraft and Belichick had a meeting, closed-door meeting. And Kraft told him, trade Garoppolo. Once he leaves, Brady's all happy. I'm here for the long run. Let's go, Patriots. 3 months later, they lose the Super Bowl to Philadelphia, the game that Malcolm Butler got benched, and Brady demands to leave. I'm done. I hate being here. 3 months after he made New England trade Garoppolo.
I mean, things change, though. I mean,
but you can't, if you are, okay, let me put it this way to you. If you're the CEO of a business and you have a very highly coveted employee.
Are you talking about Brady?
Yes.
Okay.
And he comes to you and says, listen, I know this guy is going to be really great for the company, but he threatens me. I've done so much for you. I want him gone. And if you get rid of him, I'm going to sign forever for here.
Did he say that?
I mean, we don't know what he said, but we know
that. Well, you can't use that if you
but
don't
what
know
I'm
that.
Saying, I'm just saying for the example.
Okay.
He doesn't say it, but you imply from your conversation, if I get rid of employee X, then employee J is going to stay here forever. He's our best employee. I love him. 3 months later, he says, fuck you. I don't like the way you're running things. I'm leaving. How would you feel?
I mean, I'd be upset, but people have to do what's in their best interest. So, like, for example, it's not bullshit. It's not bullshit. Let me finish. Let me bullfish. If you're at your job and someone, say they hire like a junior you, whatever your position is. Like, I'm a junior P Shank.
Yeah.
And like, you know, your boss loves you. You're a valuable asset, but you already have your replacement in line. How are you going to feel? You're not going to like that you have your replacement ready to go, waiting for you to mess up, waiting for you to retire, waiting for you to whatever. So, one, how are you going to feel? And
I'll
two, where's your son? No, but, we suck. But no, so one, how are you going to feel? But two, like, just because that they placated you in that. So, okay, like, I don't like this intern. It makes me feel uncomfortable at work. I thought that you respected me and you respected my leadership and my position, right? Like, I don't like this. He can get a job elsewhere. Like, I'm enough. I'm not going anywhere. But then you get into, like, I don't know how to equate your job to a Super Bowl, so I'm going to move back to the NFL for this because I don't have a better example, but like, you know, if you see that your boss, so in this case Belichick, like benches Malcolm Butler, and I know we disagree on this, but you know, he was at the time considered an elite corner and he was having a decent year and he had played like 97 or like 99% of snaps up until the Super Bowl. Like, if you see that like you're not putting the coach was not putting the team in the best position to win from your perspective, and I know you feel differently. If you, from your perspective as a player, think the coach is taking a personal vendetta and ruining your chances of winning, would you want to stay there? It doesn't matter what I said 3 months ago. We're talking about the here and the now. I can't work in this toxic situation.
I think if...
I would love to have Brianna on here. Because you two would
no,
go
I think
at
that would be fun.
It would. So Brianna's like a friend of mine who she does some like sports content. Like she I forget what like network she's on, but like she does like a lot of Boston sports coverage and publishes some stuff.
I think that, and this is my perspective, I've been a Patriots fan since 2001, so 20 years ago. I think when you're in New England, the way Belichick runs things and the way that you've portrayed yourself and acted for 20 years, you can't just say, get rid of the future of the franchise because he makes me uncomfortable, and then 3 months later say, you ruined my chance to win a Super Bowl, I'm leaving. Like, it's just, it's in bad taste.
Well, I mean, things happen, though. Like, take this out, right? So, say you're in a relationship, and, you know, you have, like, a fight, and, like, your girlfriend's, like, got like a toxic friend, or like there's like someone around that you don't want there anymore, whether it's like, you know, a guy who makes you uncomfortable with how he flirts with her, yeah, or whatever. I'm just trying to make an example. Yeah. I'm not. And okay, so she's like, all right, fine. Like, I don't have to be friends with this dude. He's just like a random coworker. Yeah. Like, he means nothing to me. Like, I'd rather like preserve the relationship with you. But then she goes out and she fucks some fucking dude. Like, do you still want to be in a relationship with that girl?
No, I think a better example would be the toxic friend. If you make her get rid of that friend and then 2 months later say, fuck you, I don't want to be with you anymore, you're a douchebag. Because you just made your girlfriend get rid of a really close friend of hers because you felt uncomfortable. And then 2 months later you say, I know you just lost your best friend and now you're not friends anymore, but I'm going to fucking leave too. It's in bad taste.
I feel like we've gone so far off with these examples that I don't know if they actually correlate or not. Both mine and yours.
Regardless, I think the classic.
I mean, I think my point was that, and I think you agree, is that what I'm saying is that things can change. Just yes. Because you did something a few months ago doesn't mean that today my point of view is the same. And you think, maybe I'm putting words in your mouth, but you seem to think that because you'd said something a few months ago, that it's not okay to change your mind, even if your mind has changed. I think at the end of the day, you are you. You have to look out for your own life, your own needs. You have to be selfish to an extent. What, are you going to stay in a situation where you're unhappy?
No.
Is that what you want him to do?
If you give your word and you agree to contracts that have you being...
Did he break an agreement? Did he break a formal written contract?
He had a contract that was going to extend past 2017, and he threatened to retire after they lost Super Bowl.
So he didn't break a contract?
Not after the fact, no, because whatever Kraft made him suck his dick or whatever. But what I'm saying is, at the time, when he was threatening to retire, he had a contract in place.
Did he sign it, or was
it
like...
Yes, no, he was under contract. He threw a bitch fit and said that he was pissed about Malcolm Butler. He was going to retire. And it wasn't just that. It was also Belichick threatened to trade Gronk, and Brady was throwing a hissy fit and was like, I'll retire. You signed the contract. You gave your word that you would be here through the end of that contract. Just because the game didn't go in your favor, you can argue whether or not Butler would have made a difference or not, but you lost the game. At the end of the day, you had the ball in your hand to win the game, and you lost.
He had it in his hand. Balls.
People are gonna be like, what the fuck are they talking about?
They already do that.
So I'm a coach. I've been an athlete. You've been an athlete. Things don't always go your way. You lose games you should win. Coaches make decisions that you get pissed off about. At the end of the day, if you're a professional athlete, you signed a contract, you gotta honor your end of the deal. And to throw a little bitch fit because you don't like the way that your coach handled it is in poor taste, in my opinion.
I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with that specific
thing
that
you
said.
That. You always like, I don't necessarily disagree
with
you.
I'm checking you off there.
I got a bunch to fucking catch up on, so I can cut you off the rest of the episode and I still will win. But anyways, go ahead.
Well, like I was saying, I don't necessarily disagree with that, like, last statement. Like, one incident doesn't necessarily mean that you're entitled to throw a bitch fit or, you know, renege on a contract or whatever. But we weren't there. We're fans. We are not in there day in, day out, working with them. Like, I don't know what their situation was like. It seemed,
I do.
It seemed pretty contentious towards the end.
It did.
And
no,
you're not
was.
In the locker room. You don't know what it was
I
like.
I basically am.
No, shut up.
I am Bill Belichick Jr.
So, you weren't... No. Like... And
you can't fucking count that. Well, that was a back and forth. That was not an interruption.
Fine,
you already
fine.
Wrote it down.
I didn't write it down. I literally just, like...
The face.
No face.
The face.
No fucking face.
TF.
No face. No face. I literally just retraced one that I already fucking made because it was kind of like... Yeah, it wasn't, okay. Like, clear enough. But we weren't there. We weren't behind the scenes. And, like, I can't last at a job more than a couple of years without going nuts. This dude was there taking shit and giving shit. Like, it goes back and forth.
For 20 years.
For 20 years. And I'd be frustrated, too, if I wasn't getting, like... I mean, there's a lot of shitty draft picks, some shitty trades, signings, decisions. And there are things that Brady did, too. I don't... And I also think, like, you have to do what's best for yourself. Like, I mean, if you, like, say, for example, you wanted to leave your job or I wanted to leave my job and I told my boss or you told your boss, like, no, I love it here. I plan on staying here. Like, let's plan, like, the future of this department together. But I get another opportunity in a place I'd rather live for more money with coworkers that, like, I'd rather have, i.e. Gronk, Antonio Brown, whatever, you have that opportunity. Like, it's not that, like, you have to be selfish. It's your life. No one's going to care about your life more than you. You don't owe anyone anything.
What I'm saying is, so...
It's not our business. We're not part of it. We're just watching it happen.
Sports is different, though. Because
no, it's not.
Yes,
it's the
it
same.
Is, because I'm saying, as a fan of a team... You are invested in the future of that team, and you're invested
but,
in the players. But just hear me
okay,
out.
Okay.
So Brady goes. He comes back, wins another Super Bowl, wants to stay long term. As recently as early 2019, he still wanted to be here. He wants a new contract.
Well, we don't know anything's going on.
I'm telling you what's reported.
Okay.
This is and
okay.
A lot of these reporters have sources in the organization.
Okay.
So if these people are reporting that as recently as 10 months before Brady left, he wanted to be here long term, and Belichick was iffy, but he got rid of Garoppolo, so there was no other option. Brady gets to training camp, and he even said in an interview after the fact, I knew that was my last year. If you knew that was your last year, why didn't you tell anyone?
But what? Who? What?
Belichick gave Brady his start. Without Belichick, there is no Brady. Brady was a sixth-round pick. He got from a fourth string backup to being a starter a year later. Without Belichick, if Brady goes to Cleveland and is a fourth string depth chart backup quarterback, there is no Brady. He gets cut and there's no story. I'm not saying that Belichick made Brady. I'm saying Belichick gave him the opportunity. He saw something in Brady that nobody else saw.
But what does that have to do with what we're talking about?
I think that you need to show a little bit of loyalty to the
20
guy.
20 years and six Super Bowl rings
but
is not loyalty?
The point is that Brady made it out to be like, at the end, it was about the money. They weren't going to pay me as much. But he just took a pay cut again this year, today, to re-sign, to get other people re-signed as well, taking a team-friendly deal, which he says, I took all those team-friendly deals in New England. I want to make money now. If that was the case, then why are you taking another team-friendly deal?
I mean, I can't answer that question, but we're talking about, like, what you said was it was in poor taste to change his mind.
Only because he forced the backup option out of the team. He forced them to go with him and then left.
So? Things change.
I'm not saying
things change.
I would probably do the same at my own company.
So then you
but
can't.
I'm not,
you don't have a leg to stand on.
I don't have.
Go to
my,
the leg store.
My company
go
doesn't
to the
have,
leg store and buy
no,
something to stand on.
That's why I'm saying sports are different
it's
from
not,
real life. Yes, it is.
It's not.
Yes, it
the
is.
Only
there
difference
no
is this.
People
no,
out
the,
there
no, no, no.
Watching
the,
my school saying I'm a supporter of this school.
I agree. The only difference is there's people watching it. But at the end of the day, it's the fucking same. It's another company, and people have to do what's best for themselves. His life is not as important as yours.
We pay his fucking salary.
No, we don't.
Yes, we
do.
The
Patriots do.
And who gets the money? Where did the Patriots get their money? From us. The fans. The concessions, the tickets, the merch, all that goes to their pockets.
Okay, so
to pay the players.
So if I disagree with a guest at my job, a casino, the guest is right because they cheated at a game?
No, but what I'm saying is, as the person, I'm not saying that I pay Tom Brady's salary, but I am a part of it. I was a season ticket holder. I've bought many jerseys, many merchandises. I said that wrong, Deschar, for myself. I've bought the concessions, I've been a part of paying his salary. So as that person, as a fan who's contributed,
his product, you have a right to be upset about about his own life choices. You have nothing to do with his life. You just like his product. Get the fuck out of here.
I really wish this was recorded because the facial expressions going back and forth. It's fucking classic.
Well, the thing is, he's still a human being.
I guess where my.
So he doesn't have any obligation to his family, his wife, his kids.
No, he does, but don't.
But you don't care about it, is what you're saying.
No, I do care.
No, you don't.
I do. But what I'm saying is, you can't have it both ways where I'm the team guy. I want to help the team. But I also will fuck you any chance I get if my wife tells me to. You can't have it both ways.
I'm not saying he's trying to have it both ways. What I'm saying is he has to do what's best for himself. And if he felt that that was his best move, that's what he did. And he's happy. Your own personal happiness, whether it's me, you, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, fucking Waldo, like whoever it is, you have to do what's in the best interest for yourself, not for your company. Your company doesn't care about you. We say, no, before you interrupt me, like we say it all the time, your employer doesn't care about you. And it's the same thing even when you're a celebrity. If you're, you know, Chris Evans making a movie or whoever, an actor making a movie, like the studio doesn't care about you. You're just a way for me to make more money and produce a product that people consume. The NFL is just a product that people consume. Brady is an employee. The NFL, the Patriots don't care about Brady. Like, yes, he has a relationship with people in the organization, but at the end of the day, he has to do what is best for him. He's a human being with a wife, with a family, with his own goals and happiness in mind. Just because he said something to his boss, who he's had a long contentious relationship with, does not mean that he can't change his mind or that you have any right to be pissed about what he does for his own personal reasons.
When he has such a great, strong relationship with the owner, the main boss, I do think that whether as a fan or not, you owe it to that person to give your plans. It's not like this is, I've been in this job for 2 years. Fuck them. You are very open. He calls you a third son. You call him a second father. To then go behind his back and tell him 24 hours before free agency, by the way, I'm leaving after I told you to fuck up the whole organization, it's in bad taste. And not to mention all of the problems that he specifically caused to their cap space, to their roster, not helping develop the younger players. I'm a Patriots fan. I'm a Tom Brady fan when he was here, but I like the team. I'm not a player fan. I'm a team fan. So when you do something to fuck over the team, I'm going to look at you in a bad light. Not to mention all the other reasons, but I'm not going to get into every single reason, but he did a lot of things that were negative to the team. And as a Patriot fan, I'm not going to go then be, well, he won 6 Super Bowls here, so I'm going to go be a Tampa Bay fan. No.
Well, what are we talking about? Are we talking, like, I'm not talking about being a bandwagon
Tampa Bay fan.
You
I'm
can,
not
going to
support
can enjoy-
Brady for what he's done and then also be like, I know you fucked everything up for this team and I know that you wanted to be happy, but, like, I'm going to still support you wherever you go. Like, no. You caused a lot of the main problems on this team.
He also brought the only success the franchise has ever had.
Also, I didn't realize there was one player that was the reason they won the Super Bowl.
Did they win it with anybody else? I'm not saying it's not a team sport, but during Tom Brady's career was the only Super Bowl. We've been to Super Bowls, but the only Super Bowl victories and the most playoff appearances, the most AFC titles, the most conference championship appearances, whatever, those happened while he was here. The most winning seasons happened while he was here.
You can argue that the first three were won by coaching and the defense, he was very a game manager, if you will. You can argue the last three were more of him than Belichick. I'm not saying that one's more important than the other. I think they're very 50-50.
It's a team.
But what I'm saying is that as a Patriots fan, as someone who loved Tom Brady, he did the organization wrong the way he handled it, and he's put them in that position to where they're not in the top elite teams in the AFC.
I wouldn't put all the blame on Brady, but I do.
I'm not putting it all. I'm saying he is a big part of it, and that's why.
Well, earlier you said he fucked the team. He did this. That's why they suck. Okay. So if you're changing your statement.
Let me rephrase. Belichick has not helped with his drafting and his free agent acquisitions.
For 20 years?
Not for 20 years.
How many then? How many of those years?
The last.
Because he's had a few good picks.
The last 3 or 4 years, I would say.
More than that.
No, because.
More than that. I mean, how many offensive players outside of, like, say, Gronk and Edelman, maybe Amendola, like, has he drafted that were actually good offensive talent?
He drafted Gronk. He drafted Hernandez.
I said, okay, Hernandez.
A murderer, but was a great player.
Okay, yeah, so outside of the people that I already mentioned, you have Hernandez.
James White.
Decent, but
decent. He's one of the best pass-catching running backs in history.
Put him on another team.
I mean,
I don't know if he'd be as good.
This year.
I'm curious to see how he'd do another team.
If you want to include offensive linemen, he's drafted many all-pro offensive linemen.
Yeah, he's good at drafting big white guys. He is. He's good at drafting linemen. He's good at drafting linebackers.
But you also have to include the defensive. He's picked so many Hall of Famers. Richard Seymour, Devin McCourty, who I love.
So in the first, I don't want to say the first dynasty, but the first chunk of it, it was a very defense-centric roster.
But even in the second half from 2000, I'll divide.
Because there was like 10 years in between.
I'll divide it
in
10 years. 2000, 2010, and 2010 to 2020.
Yes.
In that second half, he drafted Devin McCourty, Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez. Edelman was like 09, so like the very end.
But he ended up being better than anyone would have ever expected, though. Just like Brady.
I was going to say, just like the quarterback.
Yes.
Obviously, many all-pro offensive linemen. He drafted in the second half of that dynasty, Dante Hightower.
Yep.
Jamie Collins. Pat Chung. A lot of really big instrumental pieces. I'm not saying he hasn't missed on skill positions.
He's missed a lot.
Corners, wide receivers. You could even argue running backs. He's missed on that. But he's also... I'll end it with this.
Oh, we're ending it now.
Well, I don't want to drag it on for an hour because we're having a lot of different conversations. At the end of the day, as a Patriot fan, I'm pissed at Brady for the way he handled it. As a human, I'm not saying I wouldn't do the same thing.
That's hypocritical. That's hypocritical. That's a definition of hypocrisy.
I feel that sports are different than a race. I tell you all the time, and I say to all my friends, if you died tomorrow, your job would post your position before the obituary was out. Yes?
And they wouldn't get another quarterback?
No, I'm saying I'm just saying I am all for looking out for yourself over the company. But what I'm saying is when you've had a 20-year relationship, when you have hundreds of millions of dollars, when you've made it your life goal to always take less to then help the team, to then one day wake up and say, I want all the money in the world and you yelling at me.
I think you're taking one comment that Brady may have made that I'm sure he made it.
That's the bottom line is he wasn't happy with the way that Belichick treated him. He wasn't happy being underpaid. He wasn't happy in the cold. He wasn't happy with all these things that randomly.
Dare he leave a place he was unhappy with and go to a better situation?
All this happened in 1 year. His whole life perspective changed.
Things can build up. It's 20 years of shit building up. Are you fucking kidding me?
No, I'm not gonna fucking kid you. That's to do all of those things and then one day wake up and say, I don't want to do it anymore, and then do the exact same shit.
Who says he woke up one day?
So he was pissed off after they lost the Super Bowl.
It's a straw that broke the camel's back.
Listen to me. He was pissed off after they lost the Super Bowl in 2017. He signed a contract extension after that. So if all these things were a problem, where was that when he signed the extension? They weren't there.
That doesn't mean it wasn't there. It means he chose to do the extension.
Fuck Brady.
Okay, that's a great argument. Fuck Brady.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're going to...
I mean,
we've been arguing with this for months.
We don't
a year.
Look, like, I mean, at the end of the day, like, the way you see it is you feel that he owes you and the organization, like, no, more than he gave them?
No.
Yes or no?
No.
No.
He doesn't owe me anything. I'm saying,
well,
as
you were saying, as a fan, he owes you.
I'm saying, as a fan who contributed to his salary, that's why I'm mad at him. Because I feel as if, because I am part of that product, helping the wheel churn, that I am entitled a little bit. No, I'm saying a lot.
You do sound entitled.
I said entitled, so yes. I do sound entitled. But I'm saying a very small amount, like 1%. But the main point at the end of the day is, this is my point. He acted and felt a certain way for 19 years.
We don't know anything about how he
felt.
What
do you mean we don't know? It's
why. Are you in his head?
No, but it's...
Are you Tom? Hi, Tom. Thomas Edward Patrick Brady.
Listen to me. If you're at a company and you like it there, and you take less than you deserve every year to help out the company, and then one year you say, fuck that, I'm worth more than this, I'm done doing that. They say, you know what, we're not going to bring you back, you leave. You go somewhere else, and the first chance when it's time to negotiate your contract, you take less again. What does that say?
Says that I'm happy at this company and willing to do it again. It has nothing to do with the old company. Nothing at all. He's doing what's best for him and what he feels
is
right at the time.
How is doing that for 19 years, taking a year off and then doing it again, what's best for him?
We don't know what's best for him. We are not him. I am not Tom Brady. Neither are you. Who the fuck are you to say what's best for him?
Patrick Shancor.
Who the fuck are you to say that you know what's best for him or what's going on in his
head? I'm not saying what's best for him. I'm saying
I'm saying that people's opinion...
Who's worth hundreds of millions of dollars, to say that you are sick and tired of being not a top paid quarterback and going somewhere else to be a top paid quarterback, to then turn around and take less money the first chance you get? He's the hypocrite, not me.
You were a hypocrite. I never said you were a hypocrite. What I'm saying is that you're trying to tell other people what to do with their lives and judging them based off their decisions that have nothing to do with you, and it has nothing to do with either of us. He can do whatever the fuck he wants, and we don't follow other people's careers. And you say that it's different for pro athletes, but it's not. It's the same thing. We just see it. There's no difference in the ethics or the morality or the legitimacy of someone's feelings just because they're a pro athlete.
Sports are entertainment. I am not following other schools or companies and saying...
But who are we?
I'm a fan of the Patriots.
But it doesn't matter.
What do you mean?
It doesn't matter.
I'm saying my whole perspective is based off of me being a fan of a team and him doing something that hurts my team.
So you don't care that he's a human being with his own needs.
I care that he's a human being.
You only care about the entertainment value.
I care that he's a human being.
No, you don't.
But he's not sitting there struggling to find his next meal or help feed his kids.
What does that have to do with anything?
He's worth hundreds of millions. So I'm saying, he's a human being. He's pissed at his coach is mad. Then the coach has been consistent for 20 years. He is who he is. So if you're going to turn around and say, 19 years of that didn't bother me, but it bothers me now.
So
what
Patrick,
am I supposed to think?
So we talk about relocating all the time.
Yes.
You don't like Massachusetts.
No.
Neither do I. I'm sick of it. Why can't another person, famous or not, have that same thought and say, hey, you know what? Maybe my job here isn't what I thought it was. Maybe I'm done with it. Maybe I have another opportunity elsewhere to do the same thing in a warmer climate. And he took an opportunity to do that with his friends. More money, less money, who cares? And on top of that, who the fuck are we to determine, like, whether it's okay for someone to do something that makes them happy? We're not in a position to do that. Just because they're in the spotlight, it does not make it, it has nothing to do with us. We're just nosy.
But what I'm saying with why I'm saying about sports is that we're fans.
Okay.
We look at any move that's any player that's signed, their human aspect of it. I'm a fan of the team. I'm not saying that Brady shouldn't go out and support his family and be happy. If you want, great. I'm saying when you spend so much time putting on an act and a persona and building a personality for yourself and then turning around one year and saying, everything I said, I don't actually believe. I want other things. And then going back a year later to who you are, that's not how you're supposed to act.
I didn't understand any of what you just said.
Brady spent 19 years saying it wasn't about money. I'm happy here. I love the organization. I love the owner. I love the coach. And then one day he wakes up. The coach is too mean to me. He never gave me Patriot of the Week. Never gave me the fancy parking spot. The coach has been the same for 19 years.
So
he's never once changed who he was or differed in his personality. He's always been the guy who's going to get hard and go really. He's going to be hard on the top players to set an example for the younger players. If you weren't okay with that, you should have said that. He has gone on countless press conferences and said, I like when coach gets on me. I can handle it. I'm a big boy. And now you can't? One day you woke up and said, I don't want to be yelled at anymore?
So we spent a lot of time today talking about, like, not believing the media. And now you're saying, like, let's believe everything. He is the media in that sense.
How?
Like, well, because he's talking to the media and he's giving, like, a statement. Like, we don't know anything about these people's personal lives. And anybody can change their opinion at any given time. Like, if, you know, your girlfriend is not in love with you anymore, like, that fucking sucks. I'm sure it's happened to a lot of people, but doesn't mean she's stuck with you just because it's not fair. And, like, no. Like, he can do whatever he wants.
And the girlfriend can do whatever she wants. I'm saying, if you're telling me as my girlfriend for years...
But are you dating the New England Patriots? Was Tom sticking
in
your ass?
To be honest with you, as a fan, we... And I admit that I am more obsessed than most. But for me, starting in July, I am dating the team. I follow them through training camp. I watch the preseason. I make an effort to say which players I want, which players I don't. I'm not saying that my opinion is more valid than others, the face.
Yeah, the fucking face.
But I'm saying that from, like, everyone has a big part of their life. For me, it's the Patriots. From July to February, that's what I follow. That's what I'm involved in. I mean, not so direct, free agencies in March, the drafts in April, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm saying that I'm basically dating the team. Yes, I like to be involved and know what's going on. I keep up with the media. I keep up with what's said, the reports, what everyone's talking about. Cool. So my only point is that as someone who follows the team as closely as I do, yes, I'm going to be pissed when a player puts the team in a negative position, which is where they're in right now. That's my point. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not even getting into the whole Patriot fans going back and rooting for Brady and the Bucks because they're pissed that Belichick didn't bring him back. I'm just saying the way Brady acted his last year here hindered the team's ability to be a good team, and that upsets me. It makes me angry. Now, we can sit here and argue all semantics and all of that, but that's how I feel. You don't feel the same way. That's fine.
I mean, at the end of the day, like, I get what you're saying. I don't agree with you.
That's fine.
I'm a fan of the sport, and I like watching talent. I don't care what they do. Like, when Aaron Hernandez was killing people, like, that sucks. But, like, you know, I'm still, like, he's a very talented dude. I still enjoyed watching him play. Like, don't kill people. I don't like that. You know, he went to jail for a reason. But, yeah. Like, you know, when people do shit, like, I'm a fan of the product on the field. I don't give a shit what someone says in an interview or what they do in their personal
life.
That's
where we differ because and when I was really into blogging and podcasting, I was following the team. So I got to that point where I was heavily, heavily invested. So the shit that doesn't bother you does bother me and a lot of other people. And that's okay.
I get the sentiment. I just really, like, say this podcast blows up. And we're scrutinized to the same level, right?
Yeah.
Not saying that either one of us is going to be a Tom Brady. I'm just saying if you're in the public eye,
saying, yeah.
Right? Like, who the fuck are our listeners to dictate, like, what we do? Like, if I have...
They do dictate what we do because they're the ones that got us in the position that we're in.
See, I don't agree. Like, I'm grateful for everyone who's entertained by us and wants to consume our product. But at the end of the day, my life is my life. I'm making my decisions for me, for my own happiness.
You can, no, and I'm not saying you're wrong for doing that. Like, I'm not saying that Brady's wrong. I'm saying that if a listener who has listened from day one, and let's say a year from now, we blow up, we're famous, whatever, if then you turn around and quit because you don't want to do it anymore, I'm not going to fault that listener for being pissed at you and saying you shouldn't quit. You've been a part of this duo for a year. We're the ones that have helped you get to this point. And now to leave us and do all of this to hurt the fucking brand and the product, they have every right to be mad at you. Whether you care or not or whether you agree or not is totally different. I'm saying as a fan, I have the right to be pissed off at him for doing what he did. Just like they have a right to be pissed at me or you if we do something when we're at that point to ruin what they experience and they follow and they love. That's all I'm saying.
I understand the perspective. I just don't agree at all. Like someone else's life is not your business. Like you can be a fan of their content. You can be a fan of their career. That's great. But it's still their life. They have to do what's best for them. And I'm not going to fault anyone for doing anything that's legal that makes them happy. If Hernandez loves killing people, I'm not going to say, oh, good for you, man. I'm so glad you put the knife in the guy's throat, Dan. But, like, you know, at the end of the day, like, it's his life. Like, whether I agree with it or not, it's none of my business. Just throw the football, let people catch it, and win shit. Like, I'm a fan of the product. The personal lives of the people have nothing to do with us. What are we, the paparazzi?
I mean, that's going to be a running thing in this show is just us disagreeing. So
I mean, yeah, and that's fine. Yeah. I think we both made our points.
No, and I think that's where I kind of wanted to wrap it up. Yeah. And, you know, at this point in time.
At this point in time, I really want Chinese food.
So let's end it there. Make sure that you all go rate, review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts. You can also listen on Spotify, Anchor FM. Google Podcasts. I didn't tell you that. We got on Google Podcasts,
I did not know that. Thanks for sharing.
Not that many people listen on Google, but I mean.
But no, for real, like the five-star or the reviews. Give us 5 stars. Five stars.
5 stars.
But no, for real, like the ratings and the reviews, like we really appreciate them. And they are really, really important, especially as we try to get this podcast off the ground. Because it really is imperative that we, am I using that right? Imperative?
Yeah, imperative.
Yeah, it's imperative that we, like, get traction early and get ratings and reviews early because then other people besides, like, our friends and family and people we share it with are able to see it. So we really do appreciate everyone doing that.
Yeah, and thank you to everyone who's done it already. And make sure to subscribe. That's a big part because not even to help us, but for you, if you are a fan and want to listen, when I put this podcast into Anchor, it's different for Spotify, Apple, everything. It takes different times. So we might say like, oh, it'll be out at this time, but Apple could take another 24 hours. So when you subscribe, you'll get notified the minute it goes live to listen. So subscribe, rate, review. And then, of course, like we said last time, DM us on Instagram if you have any questions or if you want to challenge us on anything that we said. We sit here for hours talking into these mics. We might not explain or clarify everything that we mean. Obviously, in both these episodes, myself, I've had a hard time getting what I want to say out versus what I actually say. So definitely challenge us. Definitely, you know, DM us if you have any comments or questions or anything like that.
Yeah, we want your feedback. Like it your feedback is like what drives like the next episode too. Like that's what we started with today.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, I mean, we do it for you guys, and we do it for ourselves, too. Like, it's entertaining, but, like, you know, we want to know what you guys want to hear. We want to know your comments, questions, concerns, and, like, your feedback. It's important to us.
So subscribe, rate, review, follow us on all the socials, at Finnerach Podcast, at Patrick underscore Shankor.
And Andrew underscore Zuko. But also, let us know if you'd prefer us to keep drinking while we record. Because last time, all we had was caffeine. We had coffee. This time, we had like 5 shots of Don Julio 1942. So let us know if you noticed a difference, what you like better. We could try other substances, too.
Exactly. So thank you all for the support. We really appreciate it. Tune in next week for the next episode. And, of course, rate, review, subscribe, and follow us on all of the socials. Oh,